This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bonus. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bonus. A Thursday app. La-li-ba-la-li-ba. This episode is brought to you by a funeral home.
Oh, God.
What?
You made me sing. You made me feel joyous and now sad.
We wanted to do a bonus Thursday episode because it's been a while, and also have it sponsored by our live shows that we have coming up this weekend.
This weekend?
And next week.
And wait, in Texas?
Yeah, so this weekend, Woo! If you're listening on a Thursday or Friday or maybe Saturday morning, there's still time for you to come to Austin for the HeadGum Live Podcast Festival.
Yeah, Texas is a big state, but I really believe you can drive all the way across it and meet us at the North Door.
I love that. Road trip out.
Or all the way to the middle of it.
Hang out with us. Tell a friend. We're going to be in Austin. Not only our show, but so many other HeadGum podcasts. We're going to be in the room together. I think we're all going to be in the... These specific shows are going to be in the room together for the first time ever.
Yeah, that's true.
I've not met Lindsay and Bobby from Who Weekly.
And I have not met them either, actually.
So it's going to be fun.
And I haven't seen Jeff and Mikey in a minute.
That's true, too. We're going to be performing with Black Men Can't Jump. Twinnovation is going to be performing with High and Mighty. Who Weekly with This Is Why You're Single. The Complete Guide to Everything will be there.
And they have a special guest.
Oh, yeah, Dan Deacon.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be a party. And then the following week, we are in Australia, Sydney and Melbourne.
Yep, but Melbourne first.
Oh, yeah, the 16th, second. And then Saturday night in Sydney.
What are you looking forward to the most?
Probably.
And not about the tour, like shit, you know, like in general, like life shit.
I mean, maybe finally like settling down and starting a family, but
neat.
You're talking...
That's actually really heavy, man. What do you think is stopping you from being the best you, the you that you look forward to every day? Why aren't you doing that now?
I mean, without trying to delve too into it, just because we're talking about the live shows.
We got to get on. We're going to be on the road.
Maybe I'm worried that the person out there is not quote unquote perfect, and I'll have to settle eventually and figuring out the age in which I start figuring out what priorities I have in a life partner and what I'm willing to sacrifice.
Cool. The shows at North Door start at 1. They go till 7.
And would you say,
I mean, say your what? Crippling fear.
Not, yeah, of, not crippling, but yeah, it is a, it's the, it's a the, stress. The, it's the a source
fear,
of anxiety.
The fear of future failure is preventing you from taking an initial step, and doesn't that ensure failure?
Yes, maybe so. And I don't know, maybe some of it is rooted in self-sabotage. Like I do, like...
Do you think you're worthy?
That's what I guess I don't. Fuck.
And just real quick, the show in Melbourne is on the 16th. Sydney on the 18th of March.
All right. I don't know, man. I really don't know if I'm fucking worth it.
All right. Let's get right into this goofy episode.
Elliot Glazer in the house. Such a funny guy.
Tears streaming down your face.
Comedian, actor, writer. You've seen him on Broad City. I feel like we're bringing him out for a live show, but we're just going to start a podcast right now. Enjoy this episode, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
You scroll through the podcast charts, sitting on the side of the iTunes store. One more sad movie star podcast, 300 guys talking about sports. And you think of all the people needing help and in search of advice, but they can't even Jake and Amir, they'd lend their ear. sing of cheese unless you want to. Cause yeah, I know what it's like. If I was Jake and Amir, so sincere, I could make your problems go away to the Galapagos, away for the rest of our lives.
Very Hawaiian themed.
Yeah, that was almost like a uke style. Elliot, yeah. Thoughts?
Remind me of I never know his full last name, and it sounds very racist, but I say Israel Kalakaua Ding Dong.
Oh yeah, the guy the summer.
It's so racist.
It's just somewhere over the rainbow.
Very very
Kalakaua Ding Dong.
Yeah, just get rid of the ding dong part.
That song so much.
Really?
Yes. I hate that. I hate that it's a mashup. I hate that it's. Like, I hate it.
That was a big song.
I found that song in college, and I was like, I discovered.
Oh my God! Yeah,
the covenant.
I discovered Israel Kalakaua Ding Dong.
What?
I guess when you turn 18, you hear that song for the first time, and you think you're amazing.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's such a college thing. Being like, oh my God! Like, forget it. It's just me, and it's just Dashboard.
Yeah.
Wait, but gets it.
I'm gonna bring you a CD.
You didn't even like it at the time.
I just something about that song like creeps me out. It's just like it has an eerie vibe to it, and I don't like. Like you're just like, is this just like a fat guy on a beach? Like, so, what is this?
Well, so what's an example
is
of
dead?
A
is yes, Israel Kahanamani Ding Dong? He's gone.
Oh yeah, you had that party to celebrate it.
I did.
Yeah.
We had balloons, sumo shaped balloons.
Do you have an example of a bad song that you do like? Just so I can understand where you're coming from in terms of not liking that song specifically.
A bad song that I do like. I have so many. I mean. The one that just randomly popped into my head is one called My Love Is Like Whoa by Maya.
Oh, I think I know that song.
And Missy Elliott produced it, and it's like, I mean, it's not good, but I love it so much. I love it so much.
So you're not coming from a place of like, everyone loves the song and I hate it.
No, I have wonderful taste in terrible music.
Wow. Wonderful taste. I think I have that too.
You do?
I only like bad music, but I'm pretty discerning about which specific bad music that I like.
Yeah, what do you dislike? Or what do you like?
So I really like I can think of an example. Taylor Swift and Macklemore. I really like those people.
Taylor Swift is not bad by any means.
No, yeah. But then at the same time, like I dislike Nick Jonas.
Jason Mraz.
Oh, I like Nick Jonas.
Oh, I really like Jason Mraz.
He's okay. Yeah, I don't think those people... I think like bad is bad, you know?
I just mean like popular. It's like music nerds would look down on the artists
That's definitely true. I mean, but I still like Gloria Estefan.
Yeah.
You know, I like Gloria Estefan.
Right.
It's like, okay.
You know who I really like now that I'm realizing because I like all of her songs is Sia.
Well,
is Sia considered cool?
Sia is so cool because she is kind of anti-establishment, but also has like used it for personal gain in a financial way and is just the most... First of all, she is the coolest person. And if you've ever heard an interview with her, especially the one with Howard Stern, she is so fascinating.
I just found out she's like 40-something. And the girl in the videos is not her.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. She like grew up in like with like circus parents or something.
And doesn't she like... There's like plenty of songs that she writes that like Katy Perry sings. And like,
oh, you can... her songs like Diamonds by Rihanna, you know.
Right.
You can hear what her sound is like a sort of ethereal type of... with a hint of like reggae in them.
Yeah.
But like she's written amazing stuff. But did you ever listen to 07, the band?
No.
Yes,
yeah,
I did.
She was the lead singer.
07?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit.
And then she's like, I'm done. I'm just going to do...
She's like, I'm
going to
write music for other people, make a shit ton of money. I mean, she has made so much money. She's so rich and cool. Yes, she's so rich and cool. Yes.
Yeah, I think she's from Adelaide.
I thought Iggy Azalea was from Adelaide. I guess both of them. It's just hard to believe there are two people from Adelaide
that are of
this.
Note.
In 2008.
She's from Adelaide.
In 2012.
Rattelaide.
Her name is Sia.
2012.
Oh, man, I don't remember what year it was. I think it was 2012. I was waiting in line to vote in New York on Election Day.
For Mitt Romney, correct?
For Mitt Romney.
Good man.
I was waiting in line to vote for
Good
Mitt
man.
Romney. But I was waiting in line, and it was like, it was in the West Village, and I'm waiting online, and it's cold, but everyone's, you know, out to vote, and it's pretty great. But it's New York, so the line's really long. And this lady is walking up and down the aisle, or walking down the line outside in pretty frigid temperatures, like collecting or giving people, like up from a big binder, letting them know what zone they're in when they go inside to vote. And I'm like, she looks like weird. She just looks weird. Then she takes off her hood and I'm like, oh my God, like I recognize that hair. And I was like, I said to her, are you Sia? And she was like, yes. And I was like, you're Sia. Yes.
And you're just like, you're volunteering out of
you're in
out
07.
You're in 07. You write hit songs for like Flo Rida and shit. And you're volunteering at the voting booths? Yes. And then I tweeted her and she tweeted me back because I was like, you are a volunteer. Like, that's cool Sia is.
Are you sure it wasn't actually just a binder full of women? Oh, I mean, remember that? Nice. Remember that?
Very nice.
What was that? No wonder he lost.
He actually won.
What's that?
Yeah, dude.
He won the popular vote. As he in, did. He won the vote of people that are popular. So, like, all the cool like, people in America the voted
people,
for him.
The handsome and pretty people love Mitt Romney. I would take Mitt Romney in a second.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
I know.
If you watch the Mitt Romney documentary now, he's, like, a hero.
He's a
like,
hero.
Compared to, like, what we're experiencing now. Like,
are you kidding? I would take Rick
vote.
Santorum. I really would.
Here's a question. This is because I think anybody would just, like, trade out. Would you take Mitt Romney now if you had to start in 2012? So one term of Obama.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
well,
better
actually,
to have
it's hard to say.
Obama it's better to have Obama for 4 and Romney for 8 than Obama for 8 and Trump for 4.
Yeah,
or
because
Trump for 8.
Oh, well, because hey, fingers crossed, brothers.
Oh, Jesus. Well, at least like Obama's policies from 2012 on were still great and helpful and understood like the lower class and the minorities. So it's hard to say, like, if I would go back in time and erase those policies.
Yeah.
But honestly, to keep Trump out of office, I think I would.
Right. It'd be a really tough decision. It's like Sophie's choice.
It really is. And even at this point, it's like, I honestly would have Rick Santorum over Donald Trump because at the very least, it's easier to hate someone who has at least some sort of political understanding of how to behave as a human being.
Yeah, you. It's like
Trump
the devil you
villain.
Know. Yeah,
he's a fat fucking movie villain, like a bank teller.
I'm honestly starting to feel bad. I voted for the guy. He's, like it's getting ridiculous.
He's
like,
the penguin if the penguin was orange.
Yes,
he really does. He's like
fucking.
That.
So the Riddler.
Yes, but fat.
I always tell people like just tweet him that he's fat. Seriously.
I actually did that, and I got trolled pretty hard for it.
You did.
I said like, he's fat and orange.
He's fat, fat, fat. If you just keep telling him he's fat, he'll hate it.
He is really fat.
I don't think he reads. He can't read his at replies, right?
He can't read anything.
Did you see that thing where they, like, so they did his physical, they weighed him, and then, like, according to, I don't know, like, whatever, he's morbidly obese. He's like classified as morbidly obese.
He must be close to 300 pounds.
And yeah, so then they basically officially made his height 6'3 instead of 6'2. And what that does is for his height, he's no longer obese.
Oh, wow.
He's no longer considered obese.
What a creep.
Yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
Also, I mentioned before Sophie's choice.
Yeah.
And I just know that that's like a hard decision, but I don't know what Sophie had to choose. Do you?
Oh, she had to choose between
her children
killing or seeing one of her. Yeah, how did it go?
I think it was in a concentration camp, movie about a concentration camp, and she has to choose between which child she goes with. Or yeah, she saves.
She had two kids, and it's like you can save one,
yeah.
The other. God, what did she end up doing?
She ended up taking the cool kid, and then
it was
she's
like
I don't know
decision,
this guy.
Right? Like,
it was like sort of like a drunken person at a club. She's like, yeah, I don't really know this guy, but like if he wants to come in too.
All right, you can actually save both of them.
No. All right. Because like I really want this one.
I choose Corey.
And then what's your name, dude? Who do you know here? That's her. Who do you know here is what she said. Can you believe that?
Oh, Jesus. God. Where's your bracelet, kid?
Where's your bracelet? Did you buy a
Mom?
VIP?
I also realized we didn't say that guy's name.
Who that's what I'm going to do. So the guy who wrote the song, it's actually a Weezer cover of a song I've never heard. Joe Kim from Germany. There's a new White album, Weezer White album.
Oh,
Weezer
really?
Is one of the bands that like I did love or do love growing up, but I haven't heard any of their new stuff really.
Yeah, remember, like, didn't they do a song with the Muppets or something?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they did.
Break my day, save my day.
It's
just
the
thought of you in love with someone
I got the magic
else.
In me. That's kind of a new one that I
oh,
like.
Yeah, that's a good one. What's the White Album? They have a White Album? Are you aware of the Weezer White Album?
No.
Maybe this guy's trolling us.
They did that song. It's an original song.
It did sound Weezer-ish. Anyway,
they did
thanks.
That song that was actually, like, ostensibly bad. Maybe they were like trolling us, or it was like Beverly Hills.
Oh yeah,
that's where I wanna be. Like it was like
That was the Green Album.
It's like a Sheryl Crow song.
Wasn't there like a time when Rivers Cuomo apparently also had a binder like Sia and Romney? His binder was like the key components to making a popular radio song.
Oh wow!
So, right, he was very analytical and like Harvard about it.
Yeah,
but I guess it worked.
Well, he went to Harvard, right?
Song. Yeah, yeah. The White Album was released April 1st, 2016.
Wow. Holy
shit, that's recent.
Should we just stop and listen to the Weezer White Album?
Full? On repeat?
I guess. I mean, we might as well.
Get nude, get high, hotbox the studio.
So, Elliot, I don't know if you know, but this is actually an advice podcast.
Yes,
yeah, we don't usually always talk about music and politics.
I could
talk
about music all the damn day, but I'm happy to talk about advice, too.
That was my extent of it. That's all I knew about music. Is what I've talked about in the first 12 minutes of the show. So, as always, these are real emails that we've received from real people. Jake and I often give advice, sometimes it's by ourselves, sometimes we have friends and family and guests at the house. You're all three, I would think.
Thank you so much.
Brother.
Thank you so much.
Well, how would people know you, just so to put you in context?
I'm an actor and writer for Broad City.
Okay.
People see me there probably.
Uh-huh.
And I do a live show in L.A. and New York and at festivals called Haunting Renditions Live,
mm-hmm.
which is actually music where I'm singing like lush orchestrations of terrible songs.
Wow.
With a five-piece band. So
that sounds
I have
awesome.
A whole canon in my head and Google Docs of terrible songs that I love.
Wow.
What's your favorite one?
Oh boy, Kokomo by the Beach Boys.
Oh,
I love that song.
Yeah, but it's even if you love that song, yeah.
Oh, is that from a Cocktail? The movie?
Yes, yes.
Bermuda.
But when you think about like the Beach Boys, and then you with Brian Wilson, which is like he created a type of sound, and then you look at Mike Love in his Hawaiian t-shirt or whatever, his Hawaiian shirt, and John Stamos on the drums and Full House and Cocktail. It's like, oh, but it's so. Listenable. It's so chewy and like it's like taffy.
Yeah,
the song is like dumb taffy.
I like never knew the
history.
I don't even know anything about that song except that I used to like my mom would play it when I was a kid.
Yes.
So it's just I'm
Aruba,
awash with nostalgia.
Jamaica.
Yeah, exactly. He's just naming places.
Yeah.
Aruba,
and they're all
Jamaica.
Like pretty soothing.
He's just saying,
"Hey,
you
want to
the whole song is him going, "Do you want to go on vacation?
Yes,
where do
I
you
do.
Want to go?
We'll perfect our chemistry.
We'll perfect our chemistry.
Where is Kokomo?
Where is Aruba, Bahama? Come on, Pretty Mama.
Aruba, Bahama. Come on, Pretty Mama.
I have a general idea.
Key Largo, Montego,
Baby, why don't we go?
To Bermuda,
the Florida Keys
Kokomo.
At one point.
Yeah, I don't know where Kokomo is. Hawaii?
Kokomo is actually a small town in North Carolina.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, they just move inland. There's another part where he just starts rattling off like Midwestern states.
Oh my God.
St.
Kansas
Louis.
City.
That'd be awesome.
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Right.
St. Louis. Chicago.
Landlocked
baby,
cities.
Why don't we go? All right. So this is from a dude. We're going to give him a fake name just to preserve his anonymity. Do you have a dude's name that we can call this guy?
Sure. Nathaniel.
That's really good so far. Do you have a last name?
Sure. Von Cantaloupe.
That's really good. Nathaniel Von Cantaloupe writes, "Yesterday, my girlfriend was upset at me because I'm a very private man about my laptop and phone. I've never told her about my passwords for either. And if she's using my laptop, I prefer to have her log on to a guest account. She also knows that it's not just her. I don't tell my passwords to anybody. However, she feels like I don't trust her. And it makes it seem like I have something to hide. Am I crazy for being this protective of my passwords? I really don't have anything to hide, although there's probably some porn or something if she knew where to look. And I don't think she'd ever snoop. I guess I'm partly worried that she'd mess something up, like give my laptop a virus or some shit. Do you guys tell your passwords to people?"
No, I don't. I mean, I understand that. He's like, I'd like a semblance of privacy, and I'm not trying to hide anything in particular.
Yeah.
But I like my... I also come from a Jewish family where there's no boundaries.
Oh yeah.
So I can imagine I'm trying to like picture like my parents and it's like of course they have each other's passwords. Like
yeah, they have the same bank account for crying out loud.
My mom doesn't know a single one of her passwords. Like
exactly.
I need to like help her with something on Tumblr and she's like, "You have to email dad."
I could not tell you. Although I do like that Nathaniel says his girlfriend might give his computer a virus like she's 1,000 years old and has never like
used modern technology. I haven't thought about viruses in so long.
What's he talking about? Is she like
she 16? Fell for a phishing scam while checking his email. Yeah.
Ooh, this .exe file looks pretty interesting.
Hey, Nathaniel, we have to change all your passwords now. It looks like they're compromised.
Yeah, I put a virus on your phone.
He's basically calling her like a ball and chain, like a technological ball and chain. The wife won't let, you know, wife won't try to log into my fucking computer.
What's your longest relationship?
3 years.
And would that person have carte blanche access to your phone at a certain point?
Yeah, he would.
So they would be like, hey, let me take your phone. He knows the password.
I mean, I would give him the password at that point if he wanted it.
Nothing to hide.
No.
Yeah, I don't think it's a weird moment to be like, we've slept together. We said, I love you. I met your parents. I think I want your passwords.
Yeah.
Like, nobody does that. But, like,
nobody
anybody.
Does that. Yeah.
People I love know my password on my phone because if I'm, like, driving and something's, like, going to change a song.
Right. Like, I know your password.
Totally. And I know yours.
But I don't know your Gmail password.
Right. I think that's different. There's, like, passwords that you don't have to be weird about, like, not giving her your phone password or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just really comes down to if there's stuff you want to hide. You know, which is like fine. If there's stuff you want to hide, then you have the right to hide it.
Yeah, there is stuff I want to hide.
You also have your significant other's right to say, why would you want to hide something from me? And is it something that could potentially challenge our relationship? I think it's just like the kind of thing you probably ask.
Here's two levels of digital privacy that I've noticed in 2017, let's say. People who kind of have something to hide, when they get messages on their iPhone, it just comes up as iMessage, but you can't read it until it opens.
Yes.
I've seen like that level of like, hey, if we're sitting down watching a movie and a thing pops up, it's going to say a person's name and iMessage. It's not going to say the message.
As soon as you start doing that, I'm going to let you finish. But I want to also, if somebody puts their phone facing down. I think that person is cheating on somebody.
Just the face down.
Yeah, I think it's that.
Because you can't even be you can't even choose a level of anonymity where it's like, by the way, you have a message. It'll say like, by the way, Georgia sent you a message. Because like you're already kind of implicated just by the name that's displayed.
And I use that. I use that feature where it just says a message.
Is that because you want to surprise yourself or because you want to keep
myself. It's like you keep a little gem of surprise for what that message will be rather than it's basically like, I don't want spoilers. I don't want to be spoiled.
Spoiler alert as to what the text will be when you can read it.
Exactly. I've been as shady as changing girls' names in my phone to guys' names.
That's really good.
And it's like, that's dark. That's a sad place to be. Yeah. Like when you're doing that, just break up with whoever you're with.
Why did Domino's Pizza just text you?
they want to see you tonight. What's your second one?
Read receipts. People in long relationships seem to have read receipts on because it's like, when you read your thing, I want to know that you read it and that you haven't replied yet.
I hate read receipts so very much.
Yeah.
I think they're so creepy and they're actually invasive. Because that's like, that adds such an ambiguous, that's such an ambiguous level through which you could then attach any type of
I think
emotion.
That's almost like technology putting some sort of
pressure.
Yeah. They're like trying to change the way we communicate by doing that.
Yeah. And that's why I call it ambiguous, because it's like, oh, they can't say specifically what it is, but it's like, oh, so you want to give me the opportunity to feel guilty, or not even guilty, just responsible for having read this and not responding
yet. It's like the social stigma ignoring somebody.
I hate it.
Yeah, but then there's like ways around it. Like, I saw it on the lock screen, but I didn't open it, so it still doesn't count as unread.
But you did, exactly.
Yeah, but you did read it, but you didn't reply.
No, it won't come through as read if it hasn't been opened yet.
Yeah, but you can still like read the preview.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't. I figured it out. I cracked the code.
But then, didn't we talk to somebody recently where it's like, he has the read receipts on. It's like, maybe it's gone full circle to the point where like now read receipts is like a cool move.
Oh, yeah. He did. And he was like, I put them on just to fuck with people.
Yeah, I did read your text and I didn't reply.
Yes.
And
that was
they
a
know.
Choice.
Then they know. Uh-huh. But that's terrible. I don't want that. I want more ambiguity. I need to not be, it just, all it does is encourage neuroses. That's all it does.
Totally.
It encourages neuroses and second guessing.
Isn't it safe to say that every text message is read within 8 seconds? And like minute after that is like a deliberate power play?
No, for me, I will like, I don't mean, it's not like a pat on the back, but like I prefer to just not look at my phone when I'm in the middle of a conversation or dinner or anything like that.
Oh, that's nice.
And I really won't. Like I'll just... I'm not saying it as a, like a, it's not like a bragging thing. It's just like, I don't want to be bothered. And so.
And then do you do vibrations? So you feel it blowing up and you don't look?
I don't look.
Pure silence.
Pure silence.
You don't even feel it.
I don't even feel it.
And then you, but maybe that's the same thing where you like at the end of the meal, you pull it out and you see the green.
Yes. And that's great.
That's a mature thing to do. I wonder if there's anybody left or where, if we're like the last generation that's going to go on do not disturb mode.
Oh yeah. We definitely are.
Right, because soon it's going to come to your watch. Soon it's going to be like...
And kids are like...
fucking eyeballs.
Yeah, and kids are like... no kid is like, I can wait on receiving information. I'll take it easy for now. No, they want it immediately.
It's true. It's really hard. I was trying to think of like the name of a song the other day, and I was like... I like gave myself car sickness because somebody else was driving. I was on my phone for like 25 minutes Googling everything I thought might be the lyrics to it. And I could not for the life of me be like, it'll come to me.
Yeah.
No, it has to be here.
You have to know.
It's not going to come. I have to bring it to me.
Yes.
I can crack this code. By the way, I still haven't thought of it.
Oh, no, you still don't know?
No.
What are the lyrics?
I thought it was a song about like a van running on veggie oil and it being like a shitty car.
Huh. That sounds like the cover to a Fish album.
Yeah. It's like, my shitty vegetable oil car keeps breaking down, something, something. It's a junker. I don't know what the fucking lyrics are. These are all the things that I looked up.
Sounds very country.
I know. I don't know.
Are you sure it wasn't a dream you had?
It might have been, honestly.
I've had a song in my head for, I think, 8 years that I don't know what it is. And I distinctly remember where I heard it. I was in Israel with you like 5 years ago.
So how's it been in your head for 8 years?
Sorry, it's been in my head for 5 years.
But we were in Israel 6 years ago.
Was it?
Actually, I don't know. Sorry, I'm just being an asshole.
But it's this, and the problem is I know I can hear it in my head, but I can't like describe it outside because in my head it sounds like, and it's been a long summer. Da, 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 da,
da, da. Oh,
what is it?
Just kidding. that was the.
And then when I sing that, everyone's like, oh, do you mean Long December by Counting Crows? I'm like, no, that's a different song. The words aren't even Long Summer.
It's been a hard day's night. That's almost what it sounds like.
It's almost like a Jewish camp song, but I don't know why that would be playing on a radio in Israel.
Isn't there a song called like Cool Dry Summer or like Long?
It's a Dashboard song that says Goodbye, Sweet Summer.
That's one. But I'm thinking of like Cool Summer.
Yeah, the problem is I don't even think the word summer is in it. It just in my brain it sounded like summer.
It's a summer Jewish song.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I don't got it. I tried Snapchatting once, Instagramming it. No avail.
Huh?
Crowdsourcing. Didn't happen. Didn't work. So what should we tell this guy specifically?
Oh yeah.
Does he owe it to his girlfriend to just give her the passwords?
I don't know.
Does it depend on how long the relationship is?
I think you have I think that this is not the kind of thing that should be like such a roadblock in a relationship. I think he should be able to say, hey, it's not that I have anything to hide. I just feel like privacy is important. Like if there was ever a situation where you needed one of my passwords or something, I wouldn't hesitate to give it to you. But
doesn't it seem like you would just be like, sure, do it?
No, I don't know. Once it's a thing, I like to dig my feet in. Like, why? She's like, what do you have to hide? I'm like, well, why? Why do you need to get in?
Right.
What do you have to unhide?
Right.
Yeah. What do you have to unearth?
What do you have to discover?
I think it's a healthy boundary. I think so. I really do.
So, like, Gmail password maybe too much. Phone password fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems appropriate.
Yeah.
That seems appropriate to me.
PIN.
Yeah. PIN.
ATM PIN.
I think you could.
Any four-digit code you can have.
My PIN, and that's where I'm going to draw the line.
Also, like,
because your phone's at least always on your person.
Yeah.
Well, I can make sure nobody gets it.
You're going in the shower.
Oh, I take my phone in the shower.
There's been a lot of snooping in the shower.
Am I crazy, or is the iPhone 7 waterproof?
You're,
Did I make that
I was
up?
About to say you're crazy, but now I'm seeing a commercial where it is.
Yeah, I think it might be. That's why they got rid of the headphone jack, right? To make it waterproof.
Oh, yeah.
How can anything be? Like, what, I can submerge this in water and it's fine?
I'm frankly surprised it's not waterproof already.
There's holes in it.
This thing should have been waterproof the entire time.
Yeah, I have
Don't the holes lead to the electricity?
I bet they could have made it waterproof really early on, and they're like, let's save it.
Yes.
Let's is this completely it. Waterproof? Like, it can get drizzled That's on? Or, I can straight up fucking underwater video shit?
I think you can... I think you can underwater video.
That's really crazy.
It better be, they had that technology in cameras for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, it used to be they have to put it in a plastic box. Remember those cameras?
Yeah.
But
there
now,
are
like
some chunky underwater cameras that
I can remember those disposable ones. They were great.
Yeah. We could have taken underwater photos in the fucking beach in Honolulu.
Well, I have a 6 still. Actually, edit that part out. Edit that out of the podcast.
I have an 8 still. All right, let's take a break. Let's try to answer more questions after the break.
Yeah, we've only done one.
Yeah, but we got into it. I like it so far.
Yeah, me too.
We'll be right back with more Us and Elliot and questions and answers after this.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace.
Yes.
That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really.
Oh,
it's
that's
a non-movement
good.
Movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems
I'll
like
have
it should
to
be.
Check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But
so it's more
fitness
of a fitnessnah.com.
Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
Amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I
bark
was high.
Box. Yeah, bark
yeah,
box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes.
Congrats.
And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most
of it yours.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, That's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money.
Hey, we're back. Elliot's dog is in the studio.
Yeah.
He's just sort of a wise old dog that walks around and makes people happy.
Honestly, Elliot, I like you a lot, but I would do, I don't know, a 20-hour interview with Atticus.
Yeah.
He has the secret to life.
He's full of answers. He really is.
He's like more chill than Yoda and Gandhi.
Yeah, he's so zen. It's nuts. It doesn't make any sense.
You think he knows he makes people like he just jumped onto the couch and then jumped in Jake's lap.
Yeah,
like he knew that Jake would like
it. He just loves warmth and being with somebody. He loves it.
He's so calming. Like when I met you downstairs, usually when I see a dog, I'm like, woo, you know, get really excited.
Yeah,
and just like touching Atticus made me want to whisper.
Yes. He's so
talk slower.
He's so relaxing.
He's soup. He's soup and a massage.
He really is. He's so chill.
He's a gentle breeze over a country plain.
But then that's funny. He's leaving.
I say his name and he thinks I'm calling him.
Oh,
and
shit.
And he's like, okay. And then he pops up and he's like he looks like a little like seal with arms.
He really does.
What kind of dog, just so people can picture it better?
Well, I did the DNA test
after this episode.
And I was like, oh, he's definitely going to be like a Havanese and a Schnauzer.
Uh-huh.
That was my guess. I got the DNA test and he was six human. Different. Yeah, he was a person.
He is a teacup Yorkie poo.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's like a Pomeranian and a standard rat terrier or toy terrier or something.
Wow.
And a Gordon Setter, which are huge dogs, which was like insane.
Yeah.
And then also Chihuahua, which we never would have seen
Chihuahua.
Coming. It's crazy.
Chihuahua. Like,
yeah,
that's
Chihuahua?
What I say.
Wow.
I mean, oh my God.
Do any of those dogs have the temperament that he has?
No.
Or is that totally unique to...
That's why it's so interesting. Like, if anything, I guess a Gordon Setter might... I don't know. It made no sense, but it's so specific. Like, how could it not be real?
Have you ever heard him bark?
Oh, yeah. He'll bark occasionally, like, if the door, someone knocks on the door, or if, yeah, he barks so little. It's like, I'm trying to think, and I can't even recall.
A single bark time.
Yeah, he'll bark a little bit, but he's not much of a barker.
Wow.
I didn't hear his voice for the first few weeks that I had him. I was like, maybe he doesn't bark.
Is that a thing, dogs that don't bark? Like, there's
like quiet dogs.
There's quiet dogs.
Yeah, but zero barkage. Yeah.
Zero bark? Probably.
Probably.
They very
probably
true.
Exist. Yeah.
Like they don't know how.
Yeah, they don't know how. I mean, there's the sad ones.
So instead
ones.
They bite.
Yes. Oh, they just rip your face off.
I love that.
They're the
that.
Sad ones that people have their vocal cords removed because
oh, yeah,
they're
then
monsters.
It's like a strange. Like,
yeah. Jesus. Monsters.
Yeah.
Just pure monsters.
That's so fucking sad.
Yeah. It's like Hunger what? Games style torture.
Chop off the tail, chop off
yes.
the balls, cut off the boys, declaw. Why did you want a dog?
I really just wanted a fuzzy torso.
You wanted a stuffed animal.
I wanted ribs and
wanted
some sort of fluff. An above ground manatee, ideally.
Yeah.
What are you working on nowadays? Is there anything you want to plug / promote?
Sure. Well, I just finished writing on the sixth season of New Girl.
Holy
so we
shit.
Just wrapped that.
How long have you been writing there? How many seasons?
Just one. Just this last season.
Just the last season.
Yeah, because I've been writing for the show Younger and also Broad City for the past couple of years.
Holy shit.
And so New Girl was my first fancy job at a network. Yeah.
What's going on in New Girl?
Well,
who's hooking up?
Zoe's still there.
Classic.
Good.
Actually, Zoe was pregnant in season 5, so she actually left for a few episodes for maternity leave.
Oh, not in the show.
Not in the show, but on the show she went to, quote, jury duty.
Oh.
And Megan Fox came in and sort of replaced her for a few weeks.
Wow.
So she actually came back this season because people loved her so much. And so that was, like, for me as a first-year writer there, it was really fun to write for Megan Fox because I hadn't really thought one way or the other about Megan Fox before.
Yeah.
But her, like, and Zoe as a, like, a duo is so interesting to watch because they're night and day. I mean, Zoe's like, yep, but up, you know, like, ukulele.
Quirky, adorkable.
Yeah, and adorkable or whatever. And Megan's, like, wears all black and is, like, you know, all business, sardonic. She's really funny.
That's
really
great.
Funny. And the rest of the writers would like tease me because I was like, Megan Fox is a genius. And they're like, well, she's great, but like, you're like up her ass. And I'm like, I just think she is fantastic. Like, I just love Megan Fox. And everyone's like, everyone likes her, but they're like, Elliot loves her. Like, what is with him and Megan Fox?
You're her Atticus.
You're obsessed with Megan Fox, dude.
I just was like, she's just a fun, you know why? Because she's an she's sort of an antidote to the show.
Right.
There's
right.
a little bit of like, she's sort of a dark humor cloud on the show, which is very upbeat and like, you know, the jokes, the show has become a sort of like a mile a minute joke fest. You know, it's like kind of taken on that like happy endings and 30 Rock pace.
Yeah.
And so it's really fun to bring someone like Megan in and have her and just add her to the dynamic. It's fun to, it's just really fun.
Yeah. I'll check out this season. Has it started airing yet?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're almost, it's almost done airing. It started, the sixth season started in, I think, September or October.
Just and a so classic we'll be wrapping TV up sketch. In a
few weeks.
Yeah. I feel like I could jump back in at New Girl.
It's fun.
I watched up until like season three or four.
Yeah. Lamorne, like the actors are all fantastic, but Lamorne, who plays Winston, is just so funny and so easy to write for and has some, he's such a great improviser. He's just really fun to like write for and watch on set.
How right? did writing for a network compare to writing for like
so different
cable? And
it's a different world completely. I mean, it's just so bureaucratic and so big and there's so much more money, but and there's just so there's just so much more like tradition to it, you know, for better or worse. I mean,
like The Room, and then and breaking off and writing it. Yeah, and it's improving
the script. It's like, at least for me, it was felt like a boot camp.
Did it feel like something that you had to do just to like cut your teeth, and you'd rather stay in cable, or is it?
That's a good question. I think yes. I think especially for like selling my own projects that would, you know, star me ostensibly. It's like I'd rather.
You and Megan Fox.
And, yeah, me and Megan Fox.
That'd be amazing. Buddy comedy.
Amazing, yeah. But yes.
Megan Fox and Sia does the theme song.
Oh, forget it. That'd be so good.
Game over.
Yeah. No, I think for me, like for, you know, for better or worse, I think cable is more my lay of the land. But it was a great, and I might go back too. I mean, but it was a great place to cut my teeth on the sort of old school joke room. You know, joke versus story. Totally. Kind of.
Are you one of the youngest guys in that room?
I think so. I think probably. I mean,
just a bunch of veteran
people
dudes.
In their like late 20s, and I'm in my early 30s, and I think most people there are in their like 40s.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a great room of people, and some comedians and you know Noah Garfinkel and Joe Wangert.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All hilarious people. So
Jake can stop by any time and sort of be a writer on the show. Absolutely. If you need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Jesus.
What?
It would be an honor.
Yeah. You're obviously angling for it.
That's not what I'm doing, man.
Oh, come on. Well,
do you bring Atticus?
Yeah.
Then I am going to come by.
Oh, yeah.
And sure, I have a spec script.
Sure. You can find one. Well, Billy Eichner, Billy on the Street, they did one of their like dollar rounds or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, you know, running around asking people like, hilariously irreverent questions, and one of them was, is New Girl having a quiet renaissance? And I was like, that is hilarious,
because
we're like, maybe, hoping, please, can you, you know? And but it's so funny, because it's a show that's like moved out of the zeitgeist for sure, but it still has a very loyal following, and Zoe is still a movie star, you know, and Jake too. I mean, they're all like, Jake and Max are all like movie stars, and so it's still an interesting place to work.
It's like at the end of Parks and Rec, where like Chris Pratt is also the number one movie star.
Exactly. It's like, oh wow, look at that.
Right. He's in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And here,
how'd you get him? It's like, well, exactly. He's the reason.
He's hot. That's why he's hot. So,
all right. Do you want to answer some more questions? I want to dispense some more wisdom before you have to get out.
Atticus is going to answer this next one.
All right, here we go. He is fully asleep at this point. Yes.
All the secrets.
Another guy's name.
Oh, another man's name? Sinclair. Oh, we need a last name too?
Yeah, let's go for it.
St. James.
Sinclair St. James. That's two last names.
That's right.
And one Monopoly property.
That's right.
Hey there, my Jew friends. Still works.
Yeah.
I'm a 22-year-old British boy in the midst of a quandary, and I was hoping my favorite child man could help. Are you a child man?
Yes.
All right, great. So far, so good. I work alongside a 6-cent babe. Not all of us can be tens. And I've realized I'm becoming increasingly attached to her. The problem is twofold. One, she has a BF, albeit of less than a year. Two, I think she likes me, but I'm not sure, and I'm bad at reading this kind of stuff. I have asked girls out before with varying degrees of success, so I'm not too scared of that normally. But if she rejects me, I literally sit opposite to her and have to talk to her every single day. I can't imagine a more awkward situation. I know it's a dumb question because she's already with someone, but I like her, and they're not married, damn it. Do I just dive in almost blind and hope she likes me, or should I play it cool and not say anything? Help. Thanks in advance. Longtime fan. Toda. Love. Sinclair St. James.
So she's basically in love with someone at work.
Yeah. Someone that he's not even attracted to. Or like he is I just don't understand why he called her a sick set piece and then also terrible. Wants to break up their relationship.
That's terrible.
Well, if he's really ugly, then maybe that's as good as it gets.
I guess so.
That could be true. There's something like I never thought of the idea of like finding a mate at work. But I feel like I've heard more and more straight people just be like, oh yeah, that like happens all the time.
I think it almost exclusively happens.
And it's never crossed my mind and never been part of my experience because as a gay guy, it's like I'm in the minority. So it's, you know, so like.
Oh, so it's tough to. There's not a large pool for you.
Yeah,
to
there's no situation, a real life situation in which I'd be walking to a room in which there were, you know, a ton of potential boyfriends or right. something.
Most of the places I worked have only ever had one gay person working there.
Exactly. So I've never even thought that way about anything, the idea of meeting somebody at work. So I think there's an advantage to being straight and having that be a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Finally, we get an advantage.
Well, finally. But which is why in this case, I think Sinclair should lay off.
Mm. Oh,
because
you're like...
you know what? He like, again, as a gay guy, I have access to 10% of the people of the population, if that, you know, for yeah. like love and sex or whatever. He has access to 90%.
Right.
He can find somebody outside of work.
Find somebody that
or somebody
you
else at work.
That you don't think is a six.
Yes, and
that
don't you call don't... her a 6 cent babe or whatever.
Right.
It's disgusting.
It's kind of an oxymoron. If you're like, she's not a babe.
Six cent is so specific.
And also, I mean, I think even if it's like a sure thing, like she definitely wants you to ask her out, it's still awkward to ask someone out. So like, don't take a fucking 50-50 shot with
someone with a boyfriend.
Like, yeah, I wouldn't.
And with somebody who sits across from you every day.
This is so bad from the get-go.
Maybe his best bet is to be the best type of casual non-asking her out dude. Hope that she breaks up with the
right.
other boyfriend and then hope that she asks him out.
I think that's right.
Yeah, even if she was single, I don't think you can ask somebody out at work. You have to just like persist at work functions and stuff. And there are a lot of those. There's like work happy hours and you could say like, are you going, whatever.
Have you guys dated people at work?
Almost exclusively.
Wow, you too?
No.
Does it blow up in your face?
Yes.
Of course.
Bad. So I used to like work in the same office with a girlfriend and we would get into like bad fights in and like she would walk past my desk and like not look at me and I would just be like stewing, needing to write a comedy sketch.
Oh, that's so infuriating.
Yeah, it sucked.
Oof, who would want that? Why would you want to run the risk of that?
Yeah, no, it's not good. I mean, I can't help myself.
Sure.
Jake doesn't think about risks.
Loves love.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think about consequences
right.
in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Has that changed, do you think? Or are you still sort of that way?
No, I guess I've gotten more aware that I don't think of consequences. So I can like sort of, it's almost like watching a movie, being like, Jake's not thinking of this one.
Yeah, you're like becoming, you're like Benjamin Buttoning into a teenager and just like thinking without your frontal lobe development and just being like, sure, yeah.
But
I'll
like,
date the woman
at work. I'm watching it like I'm watching a horror movie, like, don't go in there.
Yes.
Get out.
Like I can't stop.
I watched this show that only children watch called The Fosters.
I've never heard of it.
It's on Freeform, which is the channel for teenagers.
Of course.
But I love this show so much. It's like it's a drama, like a melodrama about two lesbians and their house of like 1,000 children that they fostered and adopted. Like 4 kids, but whatever.
It's a real show.
Yeah, it's a real show. It's really good. Like it is actually a really good show. And it's because it's a melodrama, you know, everyone has a storyline that's just crazier than the last sometimes. And I'm like, you watch it with a grain of salt. But then there was a scene where two of the adults were talking and they were like, remember, these kids don't think. They, like, kids, literally and scientifically, don't have the function to think before they do something, which is why kids get into trouble all the time. And it reminded me, like, oh my God, that's a real thing that as adults we do hopefully and usually have the wherewithal to be like, oh, okay, I can think before I make this decision. Whereas kids mm-hmm. are just idiots, straight up dummies who are like, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, yeah,
I'm going to jump off the roof and see if I can fly. Exactly. Now both my legs are broken. Like,
why'd that happen?
What the hell?
Right. Isn't that interesting?
I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, I mean, how would kids be smart? They haven't lived, like, their first 8 years, they were legit right. children.
But right. then I wake up, I still wake up in the morning and I'm like, have a pounding hangover. And I'm like, what the, like, I know, I drank
yes.
like 9 whiskeys.
Yes.
That's like, I knew this would happen.
Right. And here I am.
Stop.
But I did it anyway.
I guess getting drunk almost turns you into a child where
for
you
sure.
Yeah, it sort of sweeps away all the logic and adult stuff, and it's yes. like, all right, now
any
you're an animal.
Is out the window. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess I still like, I actively like to get drunk because I know that I'll get myself there.
Yeah, you want to get yourself to that place of, right. of abandonment.
Your inner
so I'm
child.
Still like, even when I'm sober and I'm like about to have my first drink, I'm like, I know I'll be hungover. Like, I know that I'm opening this door where I'm going to go get drunk and lose
totally.
Myself.
Yes. Good for you.
Finally.
Becoming more. Maybe when I'm 40, I'll stop bad behavior.
Oh, wow. Instead of just recognize it?
I guess. I mean, I'm getting closer.
I'm trending towards it.
Eventually, you'll shed that boy, bad boy image.
Everybody thinks of me as a
big bad boy.
A little Jewish bad boy.
Shoot. All right. Let's try to answer one more because we've only done two.
Sure.
And we usually do 60.
Okay.
It's usually rapid fire.
But I like that we've got real in this episode. We went in deep.
We're just talking.
It's more quality than quantity.
Yeah, I honestly think it's the Atticus effect. If you could just, you could start an Atticus podcast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could, there's a million things. He's on Broad City, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you watch the dog episode from season 2.
Oh, I've seen that episode.
I literally married Atticus to another dog. But he was so, and the animal, you know, we had a bunch of dogs on set that day, and the animal trainer was this, like, big, like, fat dude from Brooklyn, and he was like, I can't believe your dog. He was like, I cannot believe your dog. He's the most beautiful animal I've ever seen. And I'm like, he's trained, right? And I was like, I mean, he's not formally trained. He's like, and the guy was blown. He's like, he's not an actor? He doesn't act.
He's not an actor.
Like, yeah, no, this is him, like. He's so chill.
He's not doing a character right now?
He just couldn't believe it. He
Will
couldn't
you
believe
one more
it.
Time for just for me say, I can't believe your dog?
I can't believe your dog.
That's Jake's ringtone now.
I really would love that.
I can't believe your dog.
Which
that's
one
that's a little more like a lot. That of yours is a little more Long Island. Like, there is a fine line between like the Brooklyn accent and the Long Island accent is much more disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
And like in the nose.
Charming.
Yeah, Brooklyn's a little more charming.
Which one did you love? The bus one?
Yeah, I liked the bus one a lot.
All right, I'm going to read the bus one.
Great.
Bus holes.
This one's written by a lady.
Oh, okay.
So you want to give her a lady name?
Sure. Champagne. No, wait.
Urbana.
What is it? Champagne Urbana?
Yeah.
That's a place,
great.
Right?
Yeah, that's a city.
Very nice. Isn't that in the Kokomo song?
Yeah. Champagne Urbana. Come on, pretty mama. I recently moved back home with my parents to save money, which means now I have a commute of an hour and a half to get to work. This means getting a bus at 6:30 a.m. every morning. I'm a smoker, and to be courteous, I stood at the far side of the bus shelter to save the other people at the stop from having to breathe my delicious smoke. The shelter is about 2 feet back from the road, and there's no set queuing area. People just line up when the bus gets there. Because I'm on the far side of the shelter, I'm queuing from a different side than the rest of the bus wankers. One morning, I thought I heard one guy grumble that I was skipping the queue, but I had my earphones in, so I didn't really hear about it, and I dismissed it. Yesterday, the same thing happened, but this time I had music turned down, and a small fraction had come together to give out about me skipping the queue. So today, instead of standing at my usual spot, I started a queue at the edge of the road so it would stop them from grumbling as I was clearly at the head of the queue. This seemed to infuriate them, and one woman tried to push pushed me out of the way as the bus pulled up, shouting that there was a queue and that this was ridiculous. I agreed that there was a queue because I had started it and proceeded to get on the bus to a chorus of protests. Now I don't know what to do tomorrow. It seems like whatever I do, I'm in the wrong, and I don't really want to start a brawl on the side of the road that early in the morning. Also, it's not like the bus is full or that there'd be no seats for them when they got on 10 seconds later. The bus isn't even half full at that time. I'm quite a stubborn person, and I don't really think I'm in the wrong here. I keep waiting until they all got on first. Sorry, I know waiting until they all got on first would smooth things over, but then they would feel like they had won, and I don't want to give them that satisfaction. So can you please give me some advice on what to do? How do I get these bus holes off my case? I'm open to petty revenge. Sorry for the long email. Lots of love, Champagne, Urbana. P.S. Do another show in Ireland.
Ireland.
So it's in Ireland.
That makes sense.
Oof. So it's already a kind of a sad situation because it's a bunch of people waiting at a bus stop in Ireland at 6:30 in the morning. Right. I assume it's an drizzling and dark.
Yeah. Get a car.
Hmm.
Champagne. Oh, shit. Get a car. What are you doing?
Wow. I guess I never
thought
about
that. You're living at home. Save your money.
Buy a car.
Buy a car and stop waiting in the queue.
Yeah. That is probably the most logical idea.
Get a car. Get a bike.
But maybe, bikes? Well,
an hour and a half commute. Hour and a half commute.
But she also, if she's going to get a car, she's got to save a little bit of money. So she has probably another couple weeks, maybe months,
right,
where she's got to deal with this bus thing.
Yeah.
I honestly don't have an answer because I don't fully understand the problem.
It seems like people are just mad at her for no reason.
The first two times she didn't know where the queue was, accidentally skipped it.
Yeah.
The third time she started a queue. But people were even more mad at that.
Yeah, right? How dare you?
And now, and she recognizes the right answer is to not engage.
Yeah, just go on later.
What's a Curb Your Enthusiasm type thing? Like a Larry, I'm so the opposite. Like I don't want any confrontation at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Soon as somebody like even remotely scolded me for skipping a line, I would wait for the next bus.
Right. What's your getting on a plane etiquette? Are you first in line? Or are you like, just let them get on, I'll go on last, I don't care?
Oh, just let them get in line. I mean, we're all going on the same place.
Yeah.
There's no reason to make somebody else's trip unpleasant by elbowing your way to the place. Like, there's no reason to do that. Going to the same place unless you're dying to get your baggage directly over where you're sitting. And that's, you're dying to do that.
That's the advantage.
I just said, I hate confrontation, but one time where I will just like fight for my shit is when I'm going on an airplane.
Yeah.
Because I hate when this is this most privileged complaint I've ever.
I'm Sky Priority. Johnny Q Public is cutting my ass.
Right.
All I'm not going to tell you what status I am on Delta, but I do recognize there's like, you know, they have zone one, zone two, zone three, zone four. And there's people in zone three that just start like sort of inching their way. They're like, I want to be the first one of zone three.
But you're
going
annoying.
In front of zone one.
Right.
You get that, right?
Yes.
No, I can't go in because I got a bag. You can't squeeze by someone if you have a roller.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, then all the rollers, the spots above your head are disappearing. Then you got to check your bag. Then they lose your bag. And then it's just
I feel so superior when I'm in Sky Zone.
Oh yeah, the priority.
I'm so I feel like a king.
Yeah, yep. Even just economy comfort.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
economy premium.
Keep walking, bro. I like to sit in there as early as possible. Yeah. just
watch
go like
those
this.
People the just march to the back.
The worst is when you put your bag downstream. So like when you get up, you're like, all right, now what do I like?
Right.
Shuffle past the aisle is already not wide enough for one human.
So unpleasant. Yeah. But I will say, flying Sky Priority a couple weeks ago. The guy who was, I was sitting window, this guy was sitting aisle. He had so many points that he bought his seat and the middle seat.
Oh, wow.
What an amazing travel companion.
He's a douche. He was a dick.
I guess
he got
that
into
makes
a
sense.
Fight with somebody, like a nice woman. He got into a big fight with her and was just terrible. Just terrible.
I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
And I have to take it.
And I'm extra sorry about this. Plane. Mom?
it was pleasant for me, though, to have that extra
leg room in the middle, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he was like, this is where I put my bag. This is where I put my iPad. This is where I plug in. I'm putting my gadgets here just so you know. Don't even think about putting anything here.
I bought this seat. This isn't like, this isn't free at my chance.
Oh, I know. Well, I know he bought it because he told the woman he got in a fight with, I bought this seat because I have that many points. And she's like, well, bitch, you're still not sitting in first class, so...
Yeah, you don't have that many points.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a weird level of, like, buying an extra economy comfort seat.
Yeah,
it's like her, you're pretty close to just doing business.
Good. She was like, your ass is still in premium economy with me, bitch.
She said that?
No, the woman, she didn't say that directly, but she just burned, like, she just burned him hard. Still,
yeah.
He was horrid.
I mean, what a waste of points.
Horrid. What a waste of points, right.
For his iPad. Nothing says premium economy like an iPad.
Just buy yourself a first class seat.
Just buy, that's what it was. It was like,
if it's that important.
Just buy yourself a first class seat. Don't buy two premium economy seats.
If you got these points to burn.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have any specific? I don't know what to tell this lady.
Oh, I think you got to swallow your pride and let them win. Just get on the bus after.
Yeah. Or make a huge stink of it every morning and then say, I was here first.
Or, you know, this is probably the easiest one, is smoke your cigarette on the way to the bus.
Right.
And then just like get in the queue with everybody.
Right.
Yeah. And then you don't have to, I mean, nobody's asking you to be at the end of the line. No one's saying you can't ride the bus. They're right. they just want you. These people have been like lining up at the bus at 6:30 for probably a pretty long time.
Yes.
And you're like this like smoking newcomer, like thinks that you're too good for the line. I'm with them. Yes. I'm with the angry mob.
Me too.
I imagine they're also a lot older than her. So maybe it's like don't worry, they'll be dead soon enough situation.
Yeah. Where is she going that takes an hour and a half in Ireland?
Every time you get there, to Dublin from
Cork.
Yeah.
Oof.
You can believe it.
Oof, rough commute. Jesus. I hope she saves up her Ireland money.
Yeah.
I really do.
Aer Lingus leprechaun points.
Save it up, baby. Save up your lucky charms. Get a car. Get a place in Dublin. Just get out.
Sure. Yeah. Champagne.
We want you to get out of your parents' house.
Move to Champagne.
I want to go to Ireland so badly.
You've never been?
I haven't, and I love gingers.
Oh.
So oh, shit.
I need to go.
Holy
you
shit.
Should go. When you go, let us know. We'll give you the lay of the land. There's an amazing, amazing club that everybody in Ireland disparages, but everyone also goes.
Oh.
Called Coppers. It's a 4-story nightclub.
Ooh, maybe it's terrible. Stories.
Whatever, it's insane. Yeah,
it's ooh, like it's crawling with
and
humans.
Delicious.
Yeah, a lot of Irishmen.
Oh my god,
a lot
freckles
of Irish
for days.
Oh, sticky, man. Sticky floors
all
forever.
Cops and nurses too.
Oh, incredible. Great.
All right, Elliot, thanks for coming on the
thanks
show.
Thanks for having me.
This is so fun. If people want more Elliot in their lives, where do they go?
They go to ElliotGlazer.com or HauntingRenditions.com.
Two L's.
One L. One T.
One L. One T.
And you could say my name on Instagram and Twitter as Elliot Glazer.
Easy.
Full branding.
Easy.
Easy. Peasy. Opening theme song written by, again, Joe Kim. I forgot to shout out his song that he wanted to shout, or his Twitter that he wanted to shout out. So thank you, Joe Kim. Twitter, @ Joe Conch. Ooh, that's a tough one. JOKONSCH. Follow Joe
Everybody
Conch.
Just forgot Elliot Glazer.
Yes. Joe Conch.
Joe Conch. And this closing theme song is written by Billy Healy. So thanks, Joe Kim. Thanks, Billy Healy. Thanks to you guys for listening. Thanks to Elliot for coming.
Thanks.
Thanks for Atticus, too.
And ooh, then we'll be back soon enough. Baby.
Come to Jake asking for help, please. Amir says you are dumb, and they softly preach that it's you who needs this show. If I were you, show. If I were you, show. You really need this show. Cause we're living in the world of breaking us down when we all should seize the cheese. It belongs to you and me. Seize the cheese.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.